your hosts, Steve Dangle, Adam Wilde, and Jesse Blake. Let's go!
Episode 4 of 5 of AON.
LFR.
AONFR.
TTYLBRB.
Terrible.
All or nothing fan reaction. And we're the fans.
Four.
So are you. And this is episode 4. We've got one more episode coming out tomorrow. Obviously, you probably will have wanted to watch episode 4 of All or Nothing before you see this. But hey, you might want to listen to us first. Maybe.
Listen, if you want us to ruin it and then you consume it, do it.
Do it.
I say do it.
Now, when I went into this episode, the thing I was thinking was, okay, this is the episode before it gets painful. Wow. Well, I was like, this is the episode. This is probably the last episode where I'm going to watch and not wince at the whole thing and not gnash my teeth. And, you know, when I get really frustrated, I'll grab my thumbs and I tuck them under my fingers and just, this is my, like, the last hurrah, exciting, how great was this season episode? Because it really was a great season.
It was. But to me, I knew the final two episodes, it was going to be a two-parter disaster. I didn't think this was before the pain. I'm like, nope, this is the beginning of the pain.
Wow.
This is where it starts. Everything post-deadline, you're just setting up the disaster movie, right? And what I was very curious about, because you'll remember we talked about this when we found out this documentary was happening, or, well, we've known for a while, but when we found out how the season ended, I said I would dedicate, I think what I said was I would dedicate the entire last episode to just the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Which, they haven't touched the playoffs yet, mm-hmm. by the end of this episode.
Mm-hmm.
So,
let's talk about this episode.
they're setting it all up.
Right.
And I'm genuinely angry with the people who made this for how much they made me like Nick Foligno.
Yeah, no kidding. Oh. Isn't he great?
The leaf that wasn't.
Oh,
the greatest leaf that wasn't.
Yeah,
and it, really it all starts off great. He shows up at, and they talk about his dad, and they show the highlights of his dad scoring and jumping, because he was jumping by Foligno. That was his nickname.
Chirping the Sioux when the second Dubas walks in the room.
He's like, yeah.
When he's FaceTiming his dad, and his dad's like, Wendell texted me today. Said,
yes!
It's good to see the 71 back. And I was like, he's like, gets as excited as Wendell texting him as like we would, you
and
know?
They talk about
it's so
the hat,
genuine,
which we loved. He's like, you got a Leafs hat hanging around the house somewhere.
Oh.
And he does.
He's like, I know where it is. Oh.
And you know, you understand why a guy like Foligno, Nick Foligno, was a captain.
Yep.
100%.
Yep.
Like,
you
captain
see it
written all over his forehead. That is a captain. That is a leader. And he's great. He just seems like a great guy.
And exactly what the team needed. Like, Dubas is forever going to take crap for that trade.
The not getting Taylor Hall, I think. Right?
Nick Foligno might as well be called not Taylor Hall.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Like for all eternity in this fan base, right?
Yep.
And now they're teammates. I forgot about that.
So
they're
unfair.
Teammates.
Boston is so unfair.
It's just nauseating. But when Foligno walks in the room,
mm-hmm.
when he makes his introduction, when he's letting all his teammates get to know him as a person, he's going around the room so confidently. He exudes leadership, like he said.
Mm-hmm.
I think he had 4 points in his first 3 games, something like that, with the Leafs.
Yeah, we forget that he was
good.
A hot start, yeah.
And the hard-nosed style that he played that we didn't even really get to see because there just wasn't time. Everything about that trade that will forever go down in infamy, but everything about that trade when it was made, when they acquired this player who they assumed was healthy, and I guess we should assume he was and got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
It was the right move to get him. It was the right move to get him. Now, should they have spent that on Taylor Hall instead? Well,
price point might have been wrong, but the player was right.
He was what the team needed.
And the right mix, too. Right?
Yep.
A little bit of confidence, a little bit of experience.
Right mix of guys, right style of play.
He knocked off this team the year before.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Who knows what the Leafs lack more than the guy who beat them?
Steve, I wrote down.
Genuinely.
Yeah, like, true.
I wrote down a specific question for you.
Okay.
Watching this episode.
Okay.
I'm just gonna look at my notes and read it right to you.
Luckily, I can't read it.
How many times have you done nothing and injured your back like Foligno?
That's
what I wrote down.
That's the I've never actually been doing anything and heard it.
Because he was just kind of skating.
I heard it playing literally. I'm not making this up. I threw my back out once, or whatever you call it, had an attack in one of my discs once while I was in high school. I was a teenager when this happened, while I was playing StarCraft.
Like sitting down on
the
couch?
I was sitting in my chair and my back just went, get on the floor. And I went, holy shit, okay. And it's everything that happened leading up to that. So being an NHL player made Nick Foligno hurt his back. It was, you know, it's a lot of, when you think about it, it's a horrible sport for your back. It's a crazy amount of movement. And then sitting. Crazy amount of movement, sitting. Crazy amount of movement, sitting, and your legs are tight all the time.
And let's not forget, if a guy who plays Foligno's style is taking cross checks to the back.
Yep. Cross checks to the back, and you're slouched over the whole time. There's no scenario, really, for your hip flexors to actually extend.
Right.
Fully stretch, and your back freaks out in those situations, and that's just muscular. Like, God knows what's happening to his discs.
When your back's out.
Yeah.
What can you do?
Shit. Nothing.
Can you pick up your son?
No.
And he's 25 pounds, maybe?
Yeah.
Max?
When we talked, I don't remember which episode we talked about it was a few podcasts ago when we were talking about Jonathan Drouin and his insomnia and lack of sleep. And we were talking about how impossible it is to recover when you're not sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
I was like changing Leo and feeding him when he was still an infant from my knees for like a month. It's you can't do anything with a bad back. And this guy came back. He hurt himself and then came back and played in the playoffs and fought Corey Perry, none of which we've seen, by the way. But when he was helped off the ice and you just see him not being able to put any, remember we're at the Lindros tournament and someone on our team hurt their back?
Yeah.
And how your legs stop working because the thing that connects the legs to the rest of your body is hurt.
Yeah.
It's, I don't know how guys return from back injuries. When I was all for re-signing Jake Gardner and then we learn, it's his back. I went, no,
it's over.
We're done there. And I wanted Foligno back for emotional reasons.
Yeah, because you would want him to take a second stab at this, right? It feels like he got robbed.
But it does feel like he got robbed, but, oh boy, I'm fascinated to see how he does as a Bruin.
Oh, I bet
I'm sure he'll throw out his back hoisting the cup.
No, yeah, exactly.
His family, you know? Though, his mom and dad, they really, it seemed, cherished
And they
the 15 games he got as a Leaf.
They had Wendell over to watch the game.
You have Wendell there? And then he's like, drive safe, Wendell. And when he's
And so here's the other thing. So you see that injury. Then at the beginning, and we've skipped over something really important, guys. We skipped over Zach Bogosian.
Yeah.
Zach Bogosian, whose family's in Florida, and he hasn't seen them for months. And they're like, are you coming home soon? And he's like, not really. Like, imagine telling your six-year-old that. And then you go into the injury. So I guess we'll talk about the separation from the family first.
Yeah. Well, so the way he left town, the way we talked about it as a fan base was wrong. It was wrong. And I feel like I remember I took some grief online for, I can't remember what reason. We were talking about Bogosian leaving and the Leafs weren't able to keep him.
COVID protocols was the Twitter rumor.
And it made him seem like a... It almost made him seem like a conspiracy theorist.
It was the wrong narrative.
Yeah, I don't know what he does or doesn't believe in that regard. I don't. I have no idea. but it's not protocols. It's getting his family across the border.
COVID protocols also includes, hey, I can't go to my daughter's birthday party.
Yes. And that's so hard. And yes. I think back to all the examples that we've seen. Mike McKenna, the goalie who was claimed off waivers like by four different teams or something. And like at some point he just tapped out. He's like, I can't keep doing this to my daughter. Right? Well, like I can't keep doing this to my family.
And when Bogosian signed with the Leafs, truly, he probably didn't think that we'd be in a lockdown.
Exactly.
Or in a lockdown that long.
Like, and that people couldn't travel and all that.
Yeah. Like we would have thought, okay, it's bad and it's coming back. But I don't think anybody, especially in this part of the world, again, you know, us being local Torontonians, we were locked down forever. It was a long, long, long slog. And
you saw Robin Leonard complaining about it. And like,
and he's in Vegas.
Yeah.
Where they could do stuff.
So like, can you imagine?
Yeah. Right. And he literally, Zach Bogosian, cannot cross the border to physically see his family for months and months and months. Yeah, I get it.
I feel bad for all the guys who got to be Leafs and never got to enjoy the fruits of it.
Yep.
Well, like Joe Thornton never got to play in front of a full arena as a Leaf.
It's a travesty.
Yeah.
Travesty.
Yep. And Zach Bogosian as well, who wanted to be here the season before. And so then they show him taking an odd skate sometimes, take an odd edge, and he goes face first into the boards.
What an animal he is, though.
That's the one where he got back up, right?
Yeah.
He just kept going.
That was the one where we all thought, oh, snapped ankle, he's done. And then he gets up. We're like, what?
All right.
And we knew about the shoulder.
Yeah.
We did know about the shoulder. I remember it being a surprise in the moment, but we did know about the shoulder. I didn't know about the laceration in his face. All these hockey players, man. Yeah. There's no hockey player retires with a perfect face.
You go home to your partner and they go, where did you get that? Like, what?
Yeah.
And they probably don't even remember.
It's don't like, even know.
Right. No idea.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Speaking of partner and Bogosian, this was the only moment I could get my girlfriend to watch this doc because she doesn't care about hockey at all. She's Armenian. And in the doc, they have a little thing about Zach Bogosian being Armenian. And I had no idea.
I didn't know either.
Yeah, because usually names that end in I-A-N, they're Armenian descent. But you'd say Zach Bogosian. You'd say it differently, but it's Zach Bogosian is how everybody says it. So it never clued in. And she said she had looked at his name. She's like, oh, it kind of sounds Armenian, but it never said anything. And I was like, look, he's Armenian. So that was a fun moment.
Look, did you have to pause it? Honey,
I paused it. I was like, come here.
Look.
It's the thing.
And boy, when he's got I hate to make it about this, when he's got a shirt off, I was like, man, if we're on an ancient battlefield and that guy's running towards me, I'm running the other direction.
He's Jason Momoa energy.
Just yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, just a beast. And you realize, you know,
he's got eats human flesh energy.
Yeah, oh, yes. Yes. What? And a look too. And you know, you realize like what's Mitch Marner? 5'10"?
No, Mitch Marner's 6 feet tall.
He's 50. Okay. Mm-hmm. So Mitch Marner looks small. And like you compare a Zach Bogosian and the meat that he has on his body versus Mitch Marner, who's probably not that much shorter, but just thin.
Yeah.
Right? Just a thinner guy, just naturally.
I always defend this. I've stood next to Mitch Marner. People think he's short. He's 6 feet tall.
That's a big dude.
Yeah, he's very slender. He's 6 feet tall.
Well, I got to tell you.
He's not as thick as Bogosian, though.
Bogosian. Are we going to get to Thornton versus Ehlers?
Well, yeah. I'm so glad. I'm so glad because of all the... I don't know if we brought it up when we were talking about what I hope is in the documentary. Mm-hmm. But I remember in the moment being like, why is Joe Thornton so upset with Ehlers? And they got the whole thing.
Yes.
I was like, so happy.
The amount he's chirping. Constant. He's so you upset. Diver. You diver. I don't dive.
And I don't know if if it was Ehlers or one of his teammates. I think it was one of his teammates. You're dead too, you fucker.
Yeah. And the ref.
That's a 41-year-old man.
All credit to the referee. He did the right thing. Like, the ref played the moment perfectly.
Yep.
First of all, how are you supposed to calm down this 41-year-old man who's throwing a hissy fit?
Who's 6 foot a million.
Right.
The ref,
so tall.
Remember we talked about calling the rule book? This ref fully acknowledged, I gave you the first one.
Yeah!
Because he cross-checked him and broke his stick, went back to the bench to get a new one and cross-checked
just
him
just to
one.
Cross-check a guy. He got a hockey stick. What a moment.
Fired up.
That was one of my top three moments of the whole series.
And he kept going at him.
When I watched that actual game, first off, we were wondering what the heck went wrong. Like, nobody could figure out what it was. Now that we know, I watched that thinking, does he think, because the Jets had a good season, sneaky good, does he think that they're going to play in the second round?
I think it was a combination of that and the Jimmy Vesey storyline coming back. Because Vesey was given an opportunity with Tavares and Nylander. Thornton, the Leafs' top two left wingers to start last season. We think the Leafs have a hole in the wing now. The Leafs' top two centers to start last season were Thornton, number one, Vesey, number two.
Right.
That's how it started.
Right.
And Vesey eventually moved down the lineup, and he never found his thing. And I remember seeing that and being like, all right, I don't know why you picked Ehlers, but Thornton is playing like a fourth liner. He's playing like a grunt. He's doing the annoying work, the abuse, the stuff that Matthews and Marner can't be wasting their time with.
Mm-hmm. There's a guy who's been in the NHL for 20 years and gets it.
Yeah. I mean, star players should be able to stick up for themselves, but that's a 41-year-old who probably knew from the get-go, all right, you'll get your cookies at the beginning of the season when the games aren't all that important. You'll get to play your month or two with Marner and Matthews.
But
it'll be fun. We'll use you sparingly. We'll probably do it on the power play when you don't really have to skate anywhere. But when push comes to shove, and, you know, we just got Nick Foligno, you're going to get shoved down the lineup, and you're going to have to be this 6'4", 230-pound man that you forget Joe Thornton is sometimes.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And be physically imposing and kind of scary. And he was.
Oh, yeah. He was.
That beard and that, like, he's such a chill guy. And he's, like, listening to his own clip at the beginning. And he doesn't get mad at Burke, right? We talked about
all right.
That.
He's got six chickens on his farm in St. Thomas.
Yes.
Is what he says. Yeah. That's the quote.
and then just angry Joe Thornton is pretty scary.
Oh.
And I know, man. Ehlers is a good skater. And I know that he's a good player. And I would love to have him on the Leafs. Get it.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think if I'm Nick Ehlers, I'm not slightly a little bit intimidated, right?
Oh, 100%. What struck me about that, and God, I'll stand by this. The Leafs get through the second round. They murder the Jets. They murder them. I remember just ticking that game in my memory and going, no one stood up for Ehlers.
That's true.
They pushed and shoved a few times.
Yeah.
Why didn't someone confetti gloves and maul Thornton?
Well, who wants to do that?
Who's on the team that's going to do that?
Someone. Yeah. Someone do it. Do it and get your ass kicked. This is the National Hockey League. Do it and get your ass kicked. That's Nikolaj Ehlers. Anyone on the Jets roster, are you less important than Nikolaj Ehlers? Okay, identify yourself as that and then do something. Because one of the most important players in your team
is getting bullied.
Is getting bullied by a 41-year-old in the fourth line of a team we're probably going to play in the second round. So you're talking about Thornton going at a guy because, oh, we might have to play these guys at some point in the playoffs. Where the hell were the Jets?
That's a good point.
Where were they?
Wow.
No wonder Montreal toyed with them. What does it say about Edmonton? But, like, no wonder Montreal, who was a take-no-prisoners team, dealt with them like they were nothing.
Brushed them off.
Mm-hmm.
Brushed them off.
Yeah.
That and losing Shifley in the first game.
So there was that. And then, yeah, that.
Oh, small point.
That doesn't help. Yeah, listen. Kind of important. We lost our best player, soon to find out. There's a couple of things here. And this is, again, where I thought this episode was, it was like the last, oh my God, I can watch without wanting to physically be, like, you know, tense, right?
Yeah.
And the next thing I loved was the ridiculousness of the coffee crew.
And Cafe Med 3.
Cafe Med 3, which, again, and I think Morgan Riley says it perfectly. He's like, we literally bring a whole thing on the plane wherever we go.
An extra medical trunk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For coffee.
Yeah. I would watch an Amazon Prime Morgan Riley reality show.
I love him.
I
love him so much.
Good dude.
He's so good.
I would. It's like an Idiot Abroad, except he's not an idiot. He just doesn't have time for anyone.
He's just
bullshit.
Surrounded by them.
Yes.
Because here's the thing. It's literally, he speaks the most truth in the entire episode. But he's like,
it wouldn't be an Idiot Abroad. It'd be these idiots here.
Yeah. Right.
He these idiots
the most
around me.
Composed, the most confident, most stable. Like, I could see why Morgan Riley was second to be captain after Tavares. Yeah.
Morgan Riley has been 47 years old for at least 20 years.
And we forget he's 26.
Yeah.
Right.
Crazy.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and I get it too, because from the other guy's perspective, it's like, you got to find ways to pandemic taught us anything. You got to find ways to find joy in the little things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to be like, they're hockey players, they can't like party too much. There's nowhere to party anyway. And you can only play video games for so long. Something's got to be like, what is a part of your everyday that you can be obsessed about? Because these guys are already obsessive people. They're hockey players. They're obsessed with hockey. You got to take your mind off something and put it onto something else. And I think that's what the coffee thing. It's an outlet. It's a thing we can talk about and bond over something that isn't hockey for 10 minutes a day.
I like
and that is a great psychological thing for us.
Who is it? Hyman? Who is like, well, I don't even like that you know about that.
It's
like,
yeah, when they're on the walk and they talk about it. Yes.
I told you about the coffee club.
It's literally the Finer Things Club from The Office.
Yeah.
So
the lunchroom.
Bogosian is Andy, who's trying to get into the Finer Things Club. And then Nick Foligno is Jim, who gets in and skirts the line ahead of him.
Yes.
It's literally the same thing. It's amazing.
The Finer Things Club. I forgot. That's so good. And, you know, and like you see them like, you see Zach Hyman in the background pouring the water in a circular motion.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
They went deep on this. I kind of love that. And I'm surprised. Was that ever reported?
I've never heard of it.
Never once have I heard about that.
I've never
There's
heard
nobody
of it.
In the locker rooms. Like, there's no reporting from inside the arena. So I don't know how you would know.
We need Connor Carrick, if you're watching or listening, we need an emergency podcast.
Yeah.
We need to know your thoughts on the Leafs Coffee Club. I want to know, was he part of it at one point?
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
And then later in the episode, you see William Nylander and the boys out driving their Porsches.
Oh, my God.
At the racetrack, which I think is, you know, it was nice. What I noticed about that was you could tell some of the restrictions had loosened.
Well, obviously.
They weren't able to do that. They wouldn't have been able to do that in any of the previous episodes, right? So that one was like, oh, well, like at least there was some hope in the air, right? Right before the playoffs.
Yes, but you know me, Mother Hen. So, okay. So you were watching that and going and saying what? When they arrived at the track.
Oh, that'll be fun.
Oh, good for them. What did you think?
I was thinking, oh, I want to do that.
Yeah.
I want to go race cars on a track. Yeah.
Okay.
Let's do it.
You want to know my first thought?
Don't get injured.
Whose dog is that? There was a dog.
Oh, what? On the track?
Right next to the track. I'm like, whose dog is that? Like, they weren't on a leash or anything. I'm like, get that dog.
Oh, yeah.
And like, I'm sure they took all the precautions, but immediately my first thought was, dog!
I thought your first thought would be, because you, my friend, are worst case scenario, Steve. Yeah.
What if they crash?
Can you blame me? No, part of me was like, how is this allowed? Like, surely somewhere in their contract,
live lives.
I agree, but surely somewhere in their contract, they're like, don't drive dangerously or something like that.
Yeah. I'm sure they went slow.
Well, I was finally.
It didn't look like they were going that fast.
No. I was glad. I think some of the car sounds were maybe edited in.
Maybe. Brrr,
brrr, like, and they're doing like 60 kilometers an hour. All the Americans are like, that's actually kind of fast. I was so glad to finally get a payoff for. Remember we talked about episode one, and in the first 2 minutes, they used to show little teasy clips.
Yep.
From all throughout the season. And I'm like, when do they drive the race cars? And they arrive at the track. I'm like, yes, finally we get to see it. And Rasmus Sandin exists. I forgot how tough of a season he had.
He did. And still ended up playing like power play 1 minute in the playoffs.
He did. And scoring a very important goal.
Yeah.
But I suppose we'll get there.
Do you remember the guys who were at the racetrack? Because it was organized by Willie.
Willie Rasmus, for sure.
And Rasmus. Matthews was there.
Yeah.
I was thinking about the crew, because it was only like a handful of them, right?
Yeah. Well, there were probably only X amount of cars. Hey, do you guys have 25 race cars?
Right.
But a track that can fit all of us?
Yeah. I just thought about like the guys, like Tavares is probably not going because he's got a kid. You know, like stuff like that.
Well, like, sorry, honey, I'm going to go drive race cars.
Yeah.
Yeah. And less than a 1-year-old at home. Like, yeah, you know,
right.
I think that's part of it too. Like, you know, some of the guys sticking around playing that baseball game on Switch.
Right.
You know, and I think, you know, the young guys can do that. Cause like, what am I going home to?
Right.
But the older guys are like, I got a family. Got to go home.
Yep.
Right. That's the way it goes. The other thing, and I loved this sort of at the end, and it's, you know that Dubas is a student of sport, mm-hmm. right? I've read several of the books that he has talked about reading, and I didn't know about this one. I hadn't read this one, but when he recants the Bill Belichick Tom Brady story, where Tom Brady is a 3-time Super Bowl champion at this point, and I guess the game's not going their way the next season, and Bill Belichick goes over to him and says, "Do your job right for once."
The man's Tom Brady.
He's Tom Brady. Yeah. Won 3 Super Bowls already. Already among one of the best quarterbacks of all time. Do your job right for once.
Yeah, 3 Super Bowls, or as Tom Brady would refer to someone who has 3 Super Bowls as today, a bum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How many does he have now?
7.
6. 7?
I believe
it's 7.
7 and 6? Do I have it wrong?
Ridiculous.
I think it might be 6 with the Patriots.
And then 71 with the Bucks last year.
God, that's stupid.
Yeah.
Could have been again this year.
I don't know.
That's a good team.
Looks likely.
So I love that. And I think it speaks to the type of intensity that the Leafs were going for, the Leafs want to achieve. But the one thing, and again, foreshadowing on this one, Will Arnett saying, the Leafs lose. They dropped the last one in Winnipeg. No big deal, right?
It reminded me. Like the whole focus from management and Keefe's standpoint, Keefe especially, mm-hmm. has been process. And as fans, I guess the pressure was off because they had number one locked up. We just didn't want guys getting hurt.
Mm-hmm.
We just wanted to go in healthy. Because remember, all right, we're going to get Hyman back. Mm-hmm. We're going to get Bogosian back.
Foligno.
We're going to get Foligno back.
Maybe Freddie, but we got Campbell now.
Maybe Freddie, and Freddie gets into that second last game. And they had to make a decision on that, which we saw. And like literally just get in okay. But they really, really were not playing their best hockey.
Yep.
Not at all.
And that's why I thought, I was like, ooh, that one, that's a line that stung. You know,
but at any
point outside of the Edmonton series, were they playing their best hockey in this series? like we see throughout the whole overarching narrative is that Keith is trying to get them Stanley Cup ready. And at no point is he satisfied because he sees it.
Oh.
And then they go into the playoffs and we know how it ends.
And very few of their games were works of art. There were a few clown show games against the Canucks who just, their whole season was a mess.
And the Sens.
And the Sens. There were, who gave them fits every all time. Year except for like one game.
And that should have been, had I personally, I look at that and I go, had I been a smarter man, had I been born a smarter man, the team that's given them the most trouble all year is the team that never quits. So that's the Senators.
Gosh.
And then the team that doesn't quit and makes it to the playoffs, the Canadiens, every player never quit.
Never.
So you see where this is going. And I
wasn't as bothered by it in the moment because I'm like, okay, they're not playing their best and they're still finding ways to win.
Mm. Yeah, it's true.
Which they were not previously doing.
Mm-hmm.
But the Leafs' expectations were higher than that, which I am comforted by, but it didn't correlate with playoff success.
Yeah. Wow. So that basically brings us to episode 5, which will drop tomorrow.
Who's ready to hurt? We need to listen, Leaf fans, you need to watch this with us.
It's therapy.
Yeah.
You have to.
It is.
We gotta write down these memories, throw them in a garbage can in front of us, and burn it. That's what this next episode is going to be.
Right. Right. I definitely... Go ahead, Jesse. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, up until this point, I was like, okay, who haven't we heard from? And TJ Brody?
Oh, yeah.
Never really in it.
No.
I'm sure there were guys who... Like, I wanted to hear more from Spezza, and he was just sort of like, oh, I sure like my sticks.
Well, that's in the next episode, but also with the that's okay. But also with the thing is that, I think the most poignant Spezza moment was back in the first episode when Keith's like, hey, I know the young players are not too happy with me, and Spezza's like, yeah, that would be right. and he's like, I'm trying to get them to play a particular way. Can you help me out with that? And he does.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some Spezza moments in episode 5 that I definitely want to talk about. But you're right. There are certain guys where it's like,
yeah, they're not
the main character.
They're not in it. Yeah, they didn't. They're background pieces.
Yes.
You know, and I was just up until this point, I was like, okay, we got one episode left and it's going to focus on the main event. So I was like, oh, we're not going to hear from blank, blank, and blank because they weren't the main characters.
It's impossible to, there's too many guys. Yeah. Like, there's just too many guys. Like, that's why Rasmus Sandin just kind of appears behind the wheel of a car. Mm-hmm. Like, there are too many guys, too many moments. So rather than tell everyone's story poorly, they chose to tell a few very well.
I have a feeling that if they had wanted to, and I don't know why you choose an episode amount or whatever. I don't produce TV shows. But I have a feeling that had they wanted to, they could have done like 20 episodes on this thing.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, there is so much there, meaty stuff. So when we come back, which is tomorrow, we release our last episode of AONFR. It's actually starting to kind of ring as we say it.
It's not.
We're going to talk about the thing that everybody's been dreading, but the thing that you need to see, the thing that you need to experience again to get a little bit of closure. And that, honestly, is what I got out of it. Hopefully you get the same.
The Steve Dangle Podcast. Follow the guys on Twitter at Steve_Dangle, at Adam WYLDE, and at Jesse Blake. Connection complete.